Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We are bringing the show in from Benton Harbor, Michigan, which is 180 miles from Detroit and 90 miles from Chicago. I tell you, we had a week that you would never, ever forget. A young lady, dead, in the parking lot, about two blocks from my home. They found a police officer. That's correct. A police officer, a black police officer, dead in the basement of his apartment. His ceiling was only 6 feet tall, and he just so happened to be about 6'3". And they said he hung himself in the basement. Also, Mr. Timothy Allen Bulldog, we have yet to get any answers in reference to Mr. Bulldog. No answers as of yet. He was last seen with two cops from St. Joseph, Michigan. That is correct. Yes, and Mr. Graves himself, the police officer who they found hung in the basement. They found him hung in the basement. They claimed he committed suicide. I don't know what he could have jumped off and choked himself to death, but the basement itself had only a 6 foot ceiling. So we are questioning that because he had some information that he was going to bust the police department, the legal system, and he was just waiting to tell someone. I may have been one of the last individuals, other than his wife, to see him alive. But on that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. my hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. And I tell you, we had a week here that you would not believe. One of our young police officers, just so happened to be black, was found hung in his basement. He was about 6'3". His basement was only 6 feet high. And he was found dead. The word was that he was going to bust not only the Benton Harbor Police Department out, but the Sheriff's Department and the State Police. He had information that he had. Matter of fact, I may have been the last individual he may have talked to in reference to that, because he wanted my support. But they also found a young lady dead about two blocks from my home. So we had a week. But here's what I want to talk about a little bit today. I want to talk about Public Act 4. And I'm going to give you the process. Before Public Act 4 became Public Act 4, it was Public Act 72. Then it was sent to the House, where it became House Bill 4214, 4215, 4216, 4217, 4218, and 4246. Once it passed the House, because they felt that Public Act 72 did not give the emergency financial manager absolute power to become a dictator. So they wanted him to take over all the black cities. Within the next couple of months, 50% of all African Americans will be under an emergency manager, Public Act 4. Now, once it left the House, it became Senate Bill 153, 154, 155, 156, 157, and 158. Once it left the Senate now, it went to the governor's desk. It became Public Act 4, which gave him absolute power to tear up a contract, union bus, merge the fire department, police department, triple the water bill, destroy the whole community. He has the power to sell and or give away anything he has. He was going around telling people, and the governor Rick Tater Snyder was bragging that this man has balanced the books in Benton Harbor. But their very own newspaper, the Herald Palladium, I'm going to read some of it for you, because this is crucial. This is what's really going on here in the United States. If we allow it to continue, it's going to spread all across this country. They figured that the people in Benton Harbor must be some of the dumbest people there is in the whole wide world. And if they can get it passed here, they think they can get it passed anywhere. But it says here, the audit, Benton Harbor still seeing red. And remember, the EM, Joseph Harris, has put it all over the country that Benton Harbor was no longer in the red. It says, contrary to Harris' prediction, city end fiscal year with a sizable deficit, audit shows accounting mistakes, pension funds error, money missing. It's the same situation it was before he got here. It says here, Benton Harbor overspent by more than $650,000 for the recent fiscal year, according to an independent audit that also found many, many, many problems in the city accounting practice. And remember this, the EM is an accountant by nature. That's his job. It goes on to say, the emergency manager Joseph Harris said the city overspent by less than in previous years, down from being over budget by $780,000.21 in the fiscal year that ended June 30, 2010. Michigan Treasury Department spokesperson said the agency reviewed the audit and will review the audit within the next couple of weeks. At that point, we'll work with the city, which is not true, to come up with a plan to address problems found in the audit. It says here, in an email Friday to the news media and Benton Harbor City Commissioners, EM Joseph Harris said there is no silver bullet that allowed an emergency manager to make all of the necessary changes overnight. There is still much work left to be done. He is absolutely correct, because he has failed. During a town hall meeting in June, Harris predicted that the city finance would break even. He never said they would break even, but with even with a small surplus or small deficit. He also predicted this. This is crucial. That Benton Harbor books will be balanced and have a $400,000 surplus in the year 2011. In the Friday email, Harris said that while significant cuts have been made to the city, which they cut everything, they only have about 9 to 10 people working in the whole city now. Not all the cuts reflect in the audit, which covered July 1st, 2010 to July 30th. Harris did not respond immediately to the newspaper call for the comment on Friday. Further cuts are planned, Harris said in an email. He's going to cut some more. He should be bringing in his checkbook. That's the most important thing. And remember this, he's getting paid $132,000. He never, ever made more than $60,000 a year in his life. According to the audit by Grand Rapids Base, the savings from the emergency manager layoff was offset by one-time costs for compensation balance payouts and unemployment. The firm issued a report that said that there was many, many, many city accounting mistakes made by him, made by Harris. The report found material weakness in the city control over finance reporting and federal programs. The audit also found smaller problems, such as a $2,500 account for loans. He was loaning money out to people he liked, and they say it still haven't been done. Now, $1.7 million. Despite what the artist said as a good faith effort by the city to forward the tax it had collected on behalf of the local entities, the artist found that the city still owed $1.7 million. Bendenhauer collected tax on behalf of the entities such as the Bendenhauer Public Library, Bendenhauer Area Schools, then contribute the money. Bendenhauer officials replied to each. The audit finding and a note attached to particular finding, the official said, city has no supporting documents to assess its validity. In other words, what we're saying is worse than that. We have over $200,000 that have not been accounted for. It goes on to say, if those tax payments that the city is to forward aren't on another entity book, then the city doesn't really owe the money. This is what Harris said. But the point is, if you don't pay it, you owe it. According to city officials, the audit report, the city finance department will look into it and find out whether the city actually owes the money. Well, unfortunately, what the city been doing, there's money that they've been, this guy Harris been spending. This is what the EM do. He comes in and he spends money any way he wants, and he has no accountability, not to the commissioners, not to the mayor, not to the people. He does anything he wants, and now the city is back in trouble again. We're in worse shape now than before he came. But here's my thoughts. How can you fix something that you claim that is broke and you do not come in with a checkbook? You have to come in with some form of money. You know, cut the staff down 80%. 80% of the people that work in the city is no longer working. The water bill has tripled for everybody. But yet and still, they're talking about this. Governor Snyder was bragging all over the state, about Mr. Harris and his work. Yes, he was bragging, and he was using Bendenhauer as the reason why everybody should be wanting an EM. The word used to be EFM, but since it became Public Act 4, they dropped the F and made it an EM. But I tell you this, on that note, let me bring in my co-host, my friend, Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and I'm listening intently. And the first thing I'd like to say is you, my dear friend, are doing your job. And I understand as a child listening to a minister speak, and he was an outstanding minister. And people ask him about his success, and he says his success is based on the theory of telling them what you're going to tell them, and then telling them, and then telling them again what you told them, so that people would get the message. Now, for a year, year and a half, you've been telling people what you're going to tell them about these fiscal emergency managers, that it was not just needed for Bendenhauer, they were going to use it, not need it, use it around the country. It's coming to your neighborhood soon. You told us about your corporation's Whirlpool taking over, and it has come to pass. And now you're into the next step of what they're going to do and where they're going. So, therefore, you have done your job. And you're continuing to do your job. And I hope that many people out here are taking advantage of your expertise by learning from you. And on that note, I'd like to continue with Martin Luther King Day. And Martin Luther King as an example of a human being. And one of the things that King did was he continued to learn. When he was killed, he was not the man he was when he started. as he learned, he understood the nature of imperialism. And when he spoke out against imperialism, two things happened. The first, he no longer could go and speak to people in high places. And in the second place, they killed him.
Mm.
And so we on Martin Luther King Day must not be a part of that hypocritical group of people who hated everything he stood for, but used his name for their purposes time and time again. And we must take the lesson of Martin Luther King and grow and listen to his last speech about imperialism at Riverside Church. And we must continue to learn and listen to carefully to what he said and not be hypocrites. And what he said was, judge a man not by the color of his skin, but the content of his character, which brings us full circle to false hope and short change, along with your fiscal emergency managers. They come in, they're going to do something. As you said, bring your pocketbook to do something. They make it worse. That's false hope and short change. They make it worse than it was before it started. So you are bringing the message around, and I hope people are listening. People didn't listen to Martin. We did not, you know, judge a man by the color or the content of his character. We judged a man by the content of his skin. And then we find that he is a Bush incarnate. I call it the Bush-Obama years. He has done everything Bush has done in spades, if you excuse the expression. He has gone beyond Bush. And at this moment in time, we must have a double lesson. We must, as people, grow and understand what it is that you're trying to tell us. We must learn to act on it. We must build your organization financially, as Mary Neal has been telling us for months, so that we can have an organization that works on our behalf, not on behalf of the empire. And on that note, shall I turn it back to you, or do you want me to continue?
Well, let me say this about the Martin Luther King. If he was alive today, what he would say, that the emergency manager, Public Act 4, is nothing but a Trojan horse that's being pushed into the city and down the throats of the residents. And inside that Trojan horse is the EMs. And what they're doing, they're destroying our city. What they're trying to do is wind you to sleep, bore you to sleep, then come out and attack all the men and carry off all the women and children. And I tell you this, the word is, it's coming to your city next. We have to prepare for this Trojan horse. We have to get ourselves together mentally, morally, and socially and stand up against stuff like that. And I tell you this, Ralph, when you talk to people, when they mention Public Act 4, which is in our state, I don't know what it'll be when it comes to New York, but tell them it's a Trojan horse. And on that note, I want you to talk to me about something.
Yes, I'm here.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I would say, and when you mention remembering Martin Luther King and where he would be and what he would be saying, the first question we have to ask ourselves is, if Martin Luther King were here today saying the things that he said before he was killed, he well might be listed as a terrorist.
Mm.
Because he fits all of the regulations. He opposed the American official government policy, foreign policy. He stated it very well, and this could put him in the category of terrorists, not able to speak, or worse than that, jailed. as supporting enemy positions, such as ending Guantanamo. He might be in Guantanamo himself. So we have to think of all of these things when we talk about what we are about, when you talk about what must be done. And as I said many, many months ago, Reverend Pinckney, you hit the nail on the head so many times, I'm concerned about your safety, the same as with Martin Luther King. You have told us too much that has come to pass. And people who tell truth, the truth tellers in America, are jailed or killed. Lynn Stewart, attorney, Bradley Manning, Julian Assange, Martin Luther King, the list goes on and on. And Mumia Abu-Jamal, when he exposed the corruption of the Philadelphia Police Department. Now we see this young man in Benton Harbor, this police officer, about to expose what was going on in Benton Harbor. And that is, you know, when you say he's 6'3 and was hung in a basement that was 6 feet high, and I say, business as usual. You know, business as usual. They're doing it again, and they have always done it. And the issue here is that we as a people have to, as our Mr. Obama said, stop whining, because the oppressor's job is to oppress. Our job, the oppressed people, is to fight for liberation. And you can't do that sitting, you know, like quietly having nothing to say or doing nothing. So we must begin to take on the reality of people who are oppressed, and you sure have given us reality. And when you talk about Whirlpool and their problems, you gave us reality in terms of how to deal with that. Economic sanctions, boycott. We did that. They're in big trouble. We must continue to follow and support the leadership that supports us. Thank you.
Wow. Hey, Rap, I really appreciate
Reverend
that.
Pinckney.
Mm-hmm.
Support the organization that he is trying to build that will support us. And then, and only then, can we join other movements. We can join the Occupy Wall Street. And as much criticism as these young people have gotten, I say, as a person who considered himself progressive on the left for years, we could never teach people about communism. We could never teach people about socialism, although everybody in America wanted socialism for themselves. We wanted Social Security. We want a guaranteed annual wage. We wanted job security. But when somebody said socialism, we would go nuts and say, no, we're not socialists, we're capitalists. No, we want to be socialists for ourselves. And we are, what would you say, we are hypocrites. We don't understand what's going on, and we don't want to learn what's going on, even though it's hitting us right in the eye. So we must always be alert, and a part of our being alert is listening to your program and begin to do things and to talk about things that support us. We have to look at our local state assembly elections and demand anti-war referendums. We must support independence. We must support ourselves by supporting those who support us. And Reverend Pinckney, you're front and center on all of these issues that we're dealing with. And thank you, Ralph.
Listen, talk to us a little bit about Lynn right fast, and I'm going to bring Roz on, and then I'm going to bring on Mary Neal. So go right ahead.
Well, February 28th and 29th. That's Sadie Hawkins Day. That's leap year. When they have every 4 years, February 29th, Lynn Stewart will be, her appeal will be heard in New York. at the federal courthouse, 500 Pearl Street. We are going to begin to occupy Tom Paine Park the day before. It's called Occupy the Courts on behalf of this total injustice system, this total unjust judicial system, this prison system, which one of every four blacks is involved with now. And we have to think about the laws against, drugs, and how they have misused that to keep us in prison, how they have put Mumia, all of our political activists, brothers and sisters, our environmentalists, all of those who speak out against this capitalist, this capitalist march against the world and against the people. And we're going to have that march in the name of Lynn Stewart, 28th, the night before, and into the 29th of February in New York, at Tom Paine Park, and spread the word. We're going to occupy this injustice criminal court system. So we're going to be there from the night of 28th right through to the 29th with our drums, our bugles, our musicians, our speakers, our artists, to let people know we're unhappy with the system that is being perpetrated upon us under the guise of something that would help us, under the guise of law and order. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Ralph, look, I want to thank you, but would you send me an email or something so I can send it out, please, so I can spread it around? I tell you, there's more than enough folks right now listening to the show, for them, especially in New York. They have asked me to come to New York for some kind of conference that y'all have every year, I guess, or every
year. Yes, please come to New York. You have a place to stay. New York for a left forum. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, hey, if I do come, you're going to have to feed me every day, so be ready for it.
I don't know about feeding you, but
yeah,
I can put
you
up.
You got to feed me. I got to eat. See, my wife get mad if you don't feed me. She's going to say, well, I told you not to go.
Maybe you bring your wife and she can cook for us. How would that be?
Oh, all right. That sounds really good. Well, Rap, I am planning on coming. I'm going to try to get there for the 28th and 29th.
Fabulous.
I can't guarantee that because I'm still in shackles. But the point is,
it
won't be long, you know, so that's the good part. But
great.
On that note, I got to bring Roz on. I got to give her a few minutes right here, and then I got to bring on Mary. And we're going to close it out with you, Ralph. We're going to close the show out today with you. And, you know, whatever you want to say, you say it because you think. Roz, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm always blessed to be on your radio show. Hi, Ralph. Hi, Mary. It's just such a blessing. Didn't Martin Luther King say that if we don't speak up, we have nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. And we need to speak up, each one of us, to change things. And also the word you used, accountability, we have it all over the country, and it's getting worse. I definitely agree with you. But we also need to pray. We need to pray for your security and your safety and that the program, more and more people tune in, more and more people join you to help other people. So it's just it's a blessing. And I don't know if you want to say how much each program is that people can get together and support your program. It'd be wonderful.
Hey, if they want to send me anything, they can send it to Banco, BANCO, 1940 Union. That's Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Anything that your heart desires, you can send $10, $5, $3, whatever you want to send, I will appreciate it. Because we're fighting a war here. And the worst thing you can do is fight a war with no resources.
Will you repeat that, Reverend?
That's Banco, BANCO, 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Banco, BANCO, 1940 Union, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Go right ahead, Roz.
Okay, that it would be great. Be a blessing. And you are, God's hand is on you. And all these programs have touched so many lives. And God is going to bless you back for everything that you're doing. And I wish that there was somebody out there that could put these stories on the internet.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
With camera,
they're,
like
they're,
when
they're on the internet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Would,
Mary Neal, she keeps them on the internet. That's one of her strongest points. She know how to write. She's a writer. But my thing is, we got enough people listening on the show right now to hear whatever you have to say. Anytime you can get 5, 6, even up to 10,000 people to listen to your show, you got something going on.
Right. That's
May
right.
I make a suggestion to Roz? Roz, you're dealing with teachers. And one of the things that's becoming very clear and should become clear to teachers is they must support community control because that's the only defense they have. Because those who manage the schools are looking to privatize everything, take away their union, and take away all their rights. They lied about those of us who wanted community control to say all teachers would lose their jobs if they weren't black, which nothing was further from the truth. We want teachers who teach our children. We want teachers who respect our children's intelligence. We never mentioned color. That is their word. Because we learned even before Martin Luther King said it, we judge people not by the color of their skin, by the content of their character and their willingness to teach. Community control is the only answer for education in America because white America already has it. We have to bring community control to black America. Thank you, Roz.
Very
you got
good.
Thank you, Ralph. I always love hearing from you, but you're right.
And Roz, you got about 2 minutes. So
okay,
say whatever you want, and I
got to
bring Mary on.
Okay, well, I have the deposition. I'll come back next week and tell you more about it. But what I have found out that they're all lying, they're all being paid off from, we have to wonder if you can't tell the truth when you have all the documented records. I mean, Dr. Stahlberg in Santa Monica made $16,770. He was already paid by LAUSD. He admitted it was one of the highest amounts. He admitted the judge said the worst things about me than anybody else. And the case goes on. Nobody cares what the truth is. Dr. Stahlberg was not given all the records. Didn't see him, but for $16,700, he could write the report. And all of us have to stand up. Every child, you're right, is do the proper education. We have scientists, we have astronauts, we have pilots, we have teachers that need the proper education no matter what color the child is. And they are entitled to it. The union is in bed with LAUSD. There's no accountability. And all the federal money that they get, there's no accountability on that money.
And you know what they robbed? They don't want to educate the kids no more.
No, they want them stupid.
They
want them
to be right
stupid.
Now, they want everybody to be stupid except for that top 1% children. Remember that. They don't want a public school system. They don't want a public school system, period. And they do not want to educate our children. But listen, what I want you to do next week, I'm going to give you more time so we can go over that report. Because that's, to me, I think people need to know more about that report. And if you promise to come on, if you be my very first caller next week, you got it. You hear me?
Okay, you're absolutely fantastic. Everybody needs to support you because you're a gift from God in all our lives. Mary and Ralph, it's just a gift. So thank you. I'm truly
blessed.
You're
welcome. And I promise you, you be the first one called next week, and you got it. You hear me?
Okay. Thank
all
you.
Right.
And I'm praying. We all need to pray. God moves.
Oh, absolutely. If we don't do nothing else, we better pray. But on that note, I got to bring Mary in. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
Happy Martin Luther King weekend.
Wow.
I want to start with a verse that reminds me of you and this ministry. I consider this a ministry because I think that's how God considers it a ministry. God said in Proverbs 31, open your mouth for the voiceless in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And I tell you, you are the people's pastor. And I thank God for the opportunity that you give to me to also speak for the voiceless on your show every Sunday. Thank
Amen.
You, Reverend Pinkney.
Hey, you welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Hey,
I really
appreciate you. But you know, you were earlier in the show. I don't know whether you heard me or not when I was telling you about this. Well, first they found a young lady dead about two blocks from my home. Then they found
I was gonna address that. I did hear that. That's horrible.
Okay, and then also this cop that so happened to be 6'3". They found him hung in a basement that was 6 feet tall. And but here's the thing: and they keep it everything. When it happened to black folks, you very seldom hear about it here. And probably all over the country, too. I'm just not going to say here. But if you know, those things are on that level. But go right ahead.
Well, that man had to be a miracle worker in his life to be 6'3" and hang himself in a 6-foot basement.
Yes.
I am going to research that. And, you know, if you're willing to, you can talk to me about that. And I will certainly. I think his name is Officer Gray. Is that right?
Officer Gray. That is correct.
Yes, and I was going to find out more about it and address it. As you know, I write several popular blogs, Free Speak blog, that's Free Speak, F-C-E-A-K blog, also Mary Loves Justice and Justice Gagged. So I was going to research that more about that young man's untimely death. And, you know, to my idea, there's reason to doubt whether or not that's a suicide.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I was just listening to your beginning when you had Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King speaking. And I'm so glad he said, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain, Georgia. You know, I'm talking to you out of Stone Mountain, Georgia.
That's right.
He also, as Mr. Ralph said, if he was alive now, how long would he live? In other words, I'm convinced that if Dr. King had not been assassinated already, he certainly would be assassinated in times such as these.
Absolutely.
He said, you know, we have SOPA, S-O-P-A, facing us. And that is a deal to take the Internet away from the average person. They don't like us having any means of mass communication. And SOPA is pending before Congress, and they're going to vote on it, a final vote, within the next 2 weeks on whether you, I, and the average American will have any access to the Internet unless we write whatever is approved by the Attorney General of the United States. Google has already been asked to take down certain police brutality videos. So this is what we're facing. And, you know, Dr. King said something about SOPA. Dr. King said something about SOPA. He said, if I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights. Now, Dr. King wrote about SOPA, and he's not for it. So all of you need to take today and do something. You know, they have a day of action coming up tomorrow. Dr. Martin Luther King Day is not a day just to go barbecue with your family. Tomorrow is a day of action. I want you to start today or tomorrow by writing your Congress and standing up for the First Amendment. Tell them you are against SOPA. You don't.
I think we may have lost her. God bless her. And I know what she's saying, too, and she is absolutely correct. We have to make that call and tell them and let them know that we are against that stuff. Believe me, if we don't do it, we are going to regret it. But we have an opportunity now, and I tell you, to take a stand. We have to stop them before they stop us. On that note, let me bring in Libby. Libby, Hello? Are you there? Yes.
Yeah. Let's see. Very important that everybody come to Benton Harbor May 23rd, 4th, 5th, 6th for PGA. We're going to occupy the PGA in Benton Harbor, this huge golf tournament on stolen land. The 26th, Saturday, is the most important day. Reverend Pinckney, you can say more about that. But first, there is an article that everybody can read on bhbanco.org by a blogger named Chris Savage. And he reacted to the New York Times article that came out, I can't think of the date now, but fairly recently, it was a New York Times Magazine front page article on Benton Harbor. Reverend Pinckney has called that article a slap in the face to Benton Harbor residents. This Chris Savage, who's a writer and a blogger, he liked that article. Now, after that, a Wisconsin writer named Roger Bybee, he came out with a rebuttal to the New York Times article that was in Indies Times, which is a Chicago newspaper. This Chris Savage read that, the rebuttal, and thought, you know, he makes a lot of good points. Maybe that New York Times article was missing some stuff. So Chris Savage has written this article. You can read all these articles on bhbanco.org. Chris Savage has written an article called Whirlpool Corporation, a Michigan Job Creation Success Story. And that's in quotations, so he doesn't really mean that. Mm-hmm. And then he says, dodging taxes and profiting from poverty. And he says, I have been following and writing about Public Act 4, the emergency manager law, since it was passed in March of 2011 in Michigan. The first impacts of the changes made by this law hit Benton Harbor, Michigan, a town on the shores of Lake Michigan. It has 10,000 residents, according to the 2010 census, with over half the people living below the poverty line. Yet in the middle of this town sits the world headquarters of Whirlpool Corporation. Even through the recent recession, the company consistently posted profits north of $200 million per quarter. Though they once employed a significant number of Benton Harborites, this is no longer true. Manufacturing there ended in early 2011. The headquarters, however, is growing and construction is in process. How is it that a successful company like Whirlpool remains in a place like Benton Harbor with all of its poverty and despair? The answer is it's been and continues to be highly profitable for the company to do so. Though the company employs few locals, Whirlpool has much to gain from exploiting the poverty of Benton Harbor as the gentrification of the city rushes forward. And then he talks about the New York Times article and then the Indies Times article and, you know, how he sort of changed his mind. And he says, in an essay for Indies Times, Roger Bybee takes strong exception to the New York Times article. And here's what Roger Bybee says. Despite Mahler's moving and insightful description of a deindustrialized city being reshaped by those who destroyed the economic base, with the victims being deprived of any voice, he fails to point out several fundamental features. One, those harmed most by past corporate decisions are treated as disposable people standing in the way of corporate-defined reconstruction. Two, democracy and public participation are early victims to this process. Three, with corporate elites having shrunk in government's public interest role in planning and economic development, major, quote, job creation projects, unquote, must be shaped around generating profit with the needs of the majority a negligible concern. But despite all the rhetoric about corporations rushing to the rescue of troubled cities, we're still reading the In These Times, Roger Bybee's. But despite all the rhetoric about corporations rushing to the rescue of troubled cities, whether it be New Orleans, Benton Harbor, or Racine, massive public subsidies to CEOs advocating free enterprise are an essential element. It's a formula for private benefit with public funding for a distorted form of development devoid of democracy or public benefit. Bybee's piece is compelling and suggests a closer look at the role that Whirlpool has played and is playing is warranted. And then Savage goes on with this article to do more, just exposing of what Whirlpool has been up to. And then at the very end of this article by Chris Savage, he says, whether or not Jonathan Mahler, that's the New York Times writer, is right about Whirlpool being the salvation of Benton Harbor remains to be seen. What is clear is that if it is, it will be because Whirlpool has very deliberately used the city's desperate situation, in part caused by Whirlpool's outsourcing of manufacturing jobs to other countries, to direct taxpayer monies into their own bank accounts. If Whirlpool saves Benton Harbor, it will likely be because they were able to steal Benton Harbor from this largely poor residents who live there, a scam underwritten in part by taxpayers. And then his last sentence is, maybe they will rename the town Upton Harbor. Now, we all know Fred Upton is the representative to Congress from that area, lives across the river from Benton Harbor in St. Joe. And a lot more should be said about St. Joe, St. Joseph, Michigan, and the role that the people there play in this just devastatingly awful situation.
Wow.
So, yeah. That's about it, I guess.
Wow, that's more than enough. But one thing that we can say, we got to continue to pound Whirlpool. Whirlpool is one of the most racist companies that there is in the whole nation. And what they're doing to the residents of Benton Harbor, they're sucking the life out of them. See, with this Public Act 4 deal, it was written by this guy named Al Pachoca, who is has a relationship with Whirlpool and Cornerstone Alliance, which is a subdivision of that. See, people talk about this EM. Kids thought that he was bragging to everybody around the nation that he had balanced the books in the city of Benton Harbor. Now they're saying it's worse off now than it was when he got here. And then now we have money that is missing. See, what people don't understand, they do whatever they want. You can paint those books to be whatever your heart desires until you're not able to pay those bills. I mean, you can make yourself look like you're no longer in the red, but still be in the red. But when it's time, when them creditors come calling and you don't have that money, then everything gonna break loose. Hell is gonna bust out right here. And I'm gonna tell people here, you better be looking out for this EFM, this EM. You better be preparing yourself for it because it's going to be all over the country. As long as you have a governor who's a Republican, which I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat in my sight, they both the same in my book, but this Republican, they got eyes on taking over this country, and really they're looking at the cities that is dominated by black people. And here in Benton Harbor, if Detroit gets an EM, if they get an EM, 50% of the people that live in Michigan will be under an EM. 50%. That's just a start, believe me. And I'm telling you this, we better get ready for it and take this thing to a whole different level. And remember this, it's important that we say this, but I got to move on, and I want everybody to know, Occupy the PGA, May 23rd through the 26th or 27th, whichever day you want to stay, be in Benton Harbor. On that note, Mary, clean it up and take it home.
All right, praise God. Reverend, they cut me off when I was talking about a day of action tomorrow. But Monday is a day of action. Please, make a check out to Benton, to BH Banco, BANCO, and mail it to Reverend Pinckney. That would be an action for you who have a few dollars. Another thing, write to Congress. Go online where it says contact your representative. Write to Congress and tell them that you do not want the Attorney General of the United States of America to take over the Internet and take off police brutality videos. You do not want the Attorney General to take over communication online. That would be another option for you to do. Please, go to the Internet and read my articles that they're trying to keep you from knowing about. I expose government corruption. My name is Mary Neal. I'm the most censored person in America. I am America's most censored, Mary Neal. Put that in your browser and you will find out. Also,
amen.
I want you to know that right now, here's a little short verse that I want you to hear. I want you to hear a very short verse that everybody needs to pay attention to. It's from the Bible, but you don't have to be a Christian to accept good, sound gospel. You do not have to be. Look at it as philosophy. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good, for for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Don't be somebody who has respect of persons. The very person you put your faith in is the one who will work against you. Your own worst enemy is within your own household. Now, last week I was reading my most censored poem, Dog Justice, and they cut me off. I asked all my Facebook friends to listen today to see when they cut me off today. And they happened to cut me off today when I was asking America to please write to your representatives about a congressional bill that has to do with your communication. And they cut me off today. So pay attention, go and listen to Reverend Pinckney's tapes, and pay attention to where they cut me off. And wherever they cut me off, that is exactly what they're trying to keep you from knowing about. There's a bill to take over the Internet and keep you from having any voice, and you will have to depend on the mass media, which is a damn liar and a cover artist. And they want you to have only that to look at because they want to put the Internet under Attorney General Holder and his successor. So I want to thank you very much again, Reverend Pinckney. I want to ask people to support the Pinckney broadcast. I want you to support Pinckney's minister. He is the pastor of the people, and we need more like him. We have some more like him. And I ask them to also, you are a pastor. If you're a pastor of the people, I want you to raise a congregation, raise a check in your congregation, and you mail it to Pastor Pinckney. Please, we need ministers to back up godly ministers. You will raise a special donation for Pastor Pinckney so he can come and see about me. I'm down here in Stone Mountain, Georgia, surrounded by stalkers. Follow everywhere I go. My phone under their control. And everything. Yesterday I went to the MLK awards dinner at the Hyatt, and I stood out there and I picketed against hypocrisy. I am against hypocrites. God says woe on the hypocrites. And you know that you are not doing Martin Luther King's work. You are not holding up your end of it. Martin Luther King ran his race and he's done. But he passed the mantle to you. He passed it to me. And we should all find something that we can stand up for. And if you don't have the energy or the wherewithal, and if you're too intimidated to stand yourself, then just send Reverend Pinckney a check. And if you want it to be anonymous, just tell Reverend Pinckney, don't thank you for it on the air. He won't. He won't. So please send him an anonymous contribution or send him an outright contribution that you do want credit for. The thing is that if you are too intimidated to do it, help this man do it, because this needs to be done. Thank God and thank you.
Amen, amen. And on that note, I'm just going to clean everything up and say, hey, we must pull this thing together. We must show the folks what we're made of, and we must do this thing together. Your issue is my issue. And I want everybody to know, May 23rd through the 27th, 2012, be in Benton Harbor. Occupy the PGA. And on that note, we have just ran out of time. And I want to thank everybody. And Ross, if you call in early next week, I'm going to give you more time so you can talk about that, okay? And
okay.
Libby, thank you so much. Mary, thank you. Ralph, thank you. And I tell you this much, y'all doing a tremendous job because people are still listening, and that's really important. That's crucial. So I will talk to y'all next week, and y'all have a beautiful day. God bless y'all.
Happy
Martin Luther King Day. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Happy Martin Luther King Day to everybody, and good night.
Good night.
Bye.